The Old Testament lesson for this third Sunday of Advent is taken from Isaiah, the 35th chapter, and I want to read the first 10 verses. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful heart, be strong and do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. We're grateful for this word. And from it we draw this subject, from wilderness to a garden. From wilderness to a garden. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. Victor Hugo said, nothing is so powerful in this world as an idea whose time has come. Nothing is so powerful in this world as an idea whose time has come. I would invite you to think about how the people who were listening to Isaiah must have felt as they heard his words. I can imagine there were those who could not hear them at all. For in Isaiah 34, the prophet has outlined what the judgment of God will be like. It is complete. As the people will understand, what later we will say is, a person will reap what you sow. And in all of the ways and means of the lives of the people, they will know the consequences of breaking their relationship with God. They were people who were meant for the promised land. Instead, they would know of the wilderness. They are, in many ways, in which one can describe in Isaiah 35. One can describe in Isaiah 35, and one way to speak of it is reversal. Reversal. The announcement is being made that all of history, and I want to emphasize all, for I'm talking about all the way back to Adam and Eve, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all of what has happened is about to be reversed because the Messiah is announced. I know it would sound strange if someone were to ask you, "What do you want for Christmas?" and you responded, "A reversal." But the coming of the Messiah is a reversal in the order of things. This is why the ministry of Christ would leave so many feeling uncomfortable. From his birth in the stable, because there was no room for him in the inn. From all of his teachings, which expressed a new way of thinking and a new way of acting. In short, the Messiah has come to save us. And so there is a reversal of the spiritual, a reversal of the physical, a reversal in the emotional order of things. The wilderness shall be made glad. These words were given to people in bondage. They were given to people who knew of fear and anxiety. They were given to people who knew of loneliness, who lived without love. They knew of wilderness. But now the promise that the wilderness shall be made into a garden. To take it one step further, in the wilderness, there is sadness. In the garden, there is joy. This joy will be in the creation that is around us. It is said that it is a true story that in Grants Pass, Oregon, several kittens had escaped in the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center. The volunteers were searching for the kittens, and they found all of them except for one. And when they found this kitten, it was easing its way into a hole in the fence that held a 560-pound bear. The bear was eating, and the kitten was hungry. It approached the bear. The volunteers said, "Oh no, the bear is going to kill the kitten." Much to their surprise, the bear pulled a little piece of chicken out of the pail and dropped it on the ground. The kitten walked up and ate it. The two animals have been inseparable ever since. There is a footnote to this story. The bear was in the wildlife center as a result of its mother and sister having been run over by a train. The bear and the cat were both abandoned. But they were not alone. This is something for us to think about. This is something that allows us to have joy. We are not meant to be alone. For in the garden, there is the joy of knowing this is our Father's world. There is something or someone something or someone to share this journey with. We move from there to see that in the wilderness, that the wilderness of fear can become the garden of courage. Verse 3 said, strengthen the weak hands and make flesh and make, strengthen the feeble hands and make firm the feeble knees. What is this courage about? I believe it is when we are able to say no to the norms of our society. What are those norms like? One writer put it this way: wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, commerce without morality, science without humanity, worship without sacrifice, politics without principle. It takes courage to say, I will be different. I will be different from what I see every day. A pastor had brought the children down for the children's message, and he held up a stuffed frog, and with a big smile on his face, he said, what does this remind you of? A little boy spoke up and said, God. God, said the pastor. Yes, the little boy said, because you wouldn't bring us down here to talk about frogs. To live with courage is to somehow look beyond the obvious. To live with courage is to look beyond the surface and to see where is God in the picture. There is something about courage. It is in the garden, because we desire God's plan for our life. Let me move on to say that we are moving from the wilderness of bondage to a garden of freedom. I was reading this week that freedom to the end of slavery in Jamaica came in 1838 on August the 1st. On the last day of July, the slaves gathered and they made a large hole and they had a wooden coffin. As it drew close to midnight, each one took a symbol of their slavery. They took chains, they took leg irons, they took whips, they took padlocks. And with a brief ritual for each one, they put it into the coffin. And as midnight approached, they lowered the coffin into the ground. And someone began to sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Isaiah spoke of it as having our eyes opened. Isaiah spoke of it as having the ears of the deaf unstopped. It is a highway. It is the holy way. Because you can find the truth there. To hear the news that the Christ child is born is to know, it is to know that sin does not have control of our life. We are free. We are free. It is freedom to be a child of God. It is freedom to be a witness to the whole world, the news of great joy that Christ the Savior is born. It is freedom. It is freedom. So much so that we have a verse to sing. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One final thought then. A teacher had a group of adults together, and he asked them to share their favorite part about Christmas. He said, all of the experiences were about the same, except there was one little difference. All of the experiences came when they were a child. It was difficult for them as adults. It was difficult for them to put their mind and their heart around what Christmas meant to them today. Oh, to think of the birth of Christ. Oh, to think of what it means to come out of the wilderness. Oh, to think of what it means to have a garden that awaits us. It gives new meaning, doesn't it, to Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. For we know just what it means. Amen. Amen.